Y va a tener el coso, Danilo.
Rally Talk, dein Offroad Racing Motorrad Podcast. Hier gibt's alles zum Thema Rally, Enduro und Offroad Racing. Ja, hallo Leute, schön, dass ihr wieder da seid bei einer neuen Folge Rally Talk. Und heute was ganz was Feines, und zwar Willem Evenand ist mal wieder am Start, weil Willem hat echt was Großes vor. Und darüber wollen wir heute sprechen. Deshalb geht's auch gleich in Englisch weiter. Für alle, die sagen, na, Englisch ist jetzt nicht so ganz meine favorisierte Sprache, fasse ich das Ganze am Ende nochmal auf Deutsch kurz zusammen. Aber jetzt würde ich sagen, geht's direkt los. Hey Willem, so good to have you here back on the show again. Thanks for taking your time and how are you doing, man?
Well, thank you. I'm great. Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And yeah, sorry I can't speak German yet. Soon.
Ah, no problem. I'm still working on my Afrikaans skill as well. So
I'm learning Spanish now. So after Spanish, the German. I can understand German quite well, but speaking it is a bit difficult.
Yeah, I think so. So it's quite good connected to Afrikaans. So I was also at the same when I've been riding with you guys that I understood a lot of Afrikaans things. So, or I can just roughly guess what's it talking about, but I can't speak it. So yeah, mm-hmm. quite the same.
Nice. Well, thank you for having me on the show again.
Yeah, it's a big pleasure, man. And I think you have to tell the people why are you here? Obviously, we are talking about rally stuff, but it's a really, really special thing. So what are your plans?
well, what are we talking about?
Did
you think it's special? That's great, man. So yeah, to the listeners, in short, I've always dreamt of doing Dakar. It's always been something that I've wanted to do my whole life since I was a boy and since I can remember, but pretty much. And it's something that I've really worked hard at to achieve and to get to. And you know, with all the big things in life, you always have to decide, okay, I'm just doing it no matter what. For me, I have a different approach for Dakar. I said that, you know, I'm only going to be able to go there once, financially at least, so I have to make sure that I give myself the best possible chance to finish. So for me, it has been a very, very long journey, you know, almost 15 years now of working, saving, planning. And I basically pulled the trigger already in March 2023. I spoke to Henk Hellegers from HT to reserve a spot for me on the HT Rally Raid team. And basically then I decided to start a community initiative called Decoding Dakar. And the basis of Decoding Dakar is that if you decide that you want to go to Dakar today, Chris, and you type in how do I get to Dakar in Google, you don't find anything there that gives you the steps, you know. One, step two, step three. Maybe with AI we will eventually. And then the ASO Dakar website is also not very helpful, really. I mean,
no,
it has all the information, but it's difficult.
If you dive in the first time, and also the FIM homepage is also not very, very good and doesn't give you a lot of info. So if you dive in for the first time, and you're totally confused. So you won't mm-hmm. have a clue what to do and who to ask. And so it's a really, really cool thing with the Decoding Dakar. But what I have to mention first is when I hear your announcement, or you told me, and I think we've been chatting on WhatsApp, and you told me that you're going to Dakar 2025. I really got goosebumps because I remember, I think it was the last time when you've been here, and we've been discussing chat a little bit back and forwards. What would you do if you got the money to do one Dakar? Would you do the Dakar, or would you do a ton of another races, which you can do, which one Dakar costs? And we've been discussing it here, and I still remember that you said, just listen, Dakar is like the Mount Everest for mountaineers, for climbers. It's just the one thing. It's just the real deal. And when we've been chatting the last time, we discussed that you can do 10, 15 Africa Eco Races, you can do 10 Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, you can do whatever. No one will talk about it and remember it. But if you're doing Dakar, then that's a real deal. So it was just really, I really got goosebumps. Wow, he's doing the freaking Everest, man. So that was coming to my mind.
Yeah, look, I think it for me, you know, that same discussion I've had, you know, with myself, you know, I would say that October, November 2023 was probably two of the toughest months in my life, because every day I would wake up with a different idea, right? Mm. Every single day I would go to bed tonight and I'd be like, no, this is ridiculous. You cannot spend $100,000. I don't know how much euros that is.
It's about roughly the same, yeah.
Yeah, so let's say 100,000 euros on one race that you don't even know you're going to finish.
Yeah.
And then the next day I would wake up, and because that's like, you know, if I just forget about Dakar, my life will be easier. You know, I have a very good friend.
I guess everyone who's into this rally thing can totally agree with that one, even if you're not doing Dakar. So it's just, yeah.
I have a friend that said to me, it's in Afrikaans, it sounds better, but he said to me, ek is bly, ek het nie die worm in my kop en my brein nie. And it translates to, I'm glad I don't have that worm inside of my brain, because that Dakar worm, just, it's like a little worm, almost like in an apple in your brain, and it just keeps on eating and eating and eating, you know, it'll never go away. So for me, I went through really 2 months of extreme emotional highs and lows, where, you know, and the thing is, you can't tell anybody about it because it's a decision you have to make yourself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was phoning everybody that I knew. I was talking to people that went to Dakar. And I think what I wanted to hear, what I wanted to know I wanted somebody to tell me, Willem, it's worth the money. You know, that's what I wanted to hear. And of course, very few people, I mean, a lot of my friends that has done Dakar has come close to that, in the sense of, you know, and I think that's the thing, is what I told myself now is that, you know, if it was rational, if it was something that I had to make a rational decision about, then, you know, hundreds of people would be doing Dakar. It's not a rational decision. It's not a decision that you can sit down and that you can work out the pros and the cons, because if you do that, you will never go.
Yeah, you know, it'll always then just be too risky. It's totally nuts. It's so, if you take it from a totally rational side, it's just stupid doing Dakar.
Exactly.
From a rational point.
But then those same people, you know, Mo Hart, he was the first American to finish Malamoto, told me, Willem, there's only one rally that matters. There's only one race that matters, and that's Dakar. Nothing else matters. That's the one.
Yeah.
And because I'm in the industry and because I want people to learn how to navigate, unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you want to see it, it is a tick that I have to get. I've always wanted to do it. I'm not doing it because I want to say I've done Dakar. I've always wanted to do it. But for me, professionally, to carry on moving forward in the industry, I have to basically get myself over the finish line of Dakar.
Yeah.
Because I can't keep on teaching people if I haven't done Dakar.
Totally. I understand it, and I also understand these Dakar worm in the head. I think
you have it in your brain, don't
you? Yeah, and it's a little bit maybe your fault too that it is there. So I think it was there before, but you just give him something to eat. So you made it grow.
Whether you're sleeping, whether you're working, whether you're awake, that worm is eating there the whole time.
It's just, so I totally understand, and I feel it. So because if you can, let's say, put Dakar finisher on your business card, then it's just a complete different game to being in the industry. So no question about
it. And then nothing else matters, you know. Nobody cares about how many other rallies you've done. They
yeah.
just say, oh, this guy did Dakar, you know. And the cool thing is you become part of a group of, like, I meet people all the time that did Dakar, like, you know, way back in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, and then you just immediately have a bond with them because you understand what they went through, you know. So, and so you meet them in the strangest places.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But to finish the story about deciding, you know, for me, it was one of those things where, okay, when I eventually decided, right? So eventually I get up, I was like, okay, I have to stop messing around. This is it. I'm going to go. Mm. And then the next week, the ASO changed its selection criteria to a new system, which is an all points-based system.
Yeah.
I have a nice article on the Decoding Dakar website that explains how the new point system works.
So, which is really good. Just a quick reminder for you all, we put the Decoding Dakar website in the link of the show notes, so we're putting link in there.
Oh,
so if you want to do Dakar, just check it out. And but to make sure, we don't cover any costs or so if you're getting the Dakar warm in your head after checking it out, so we're not responsible for that one. Yeah, just to make that one clear.
So yeah, so you know, I'd gone from, okay, you know what, finally, yes, I have peace in my heart, I'm going to go and do Dakar. And then literally the next week, the ASO changes the rules. And basically where I was qualified to go and do the Dakar, now I have to go and qualify again, which is another €20,000 in order to get to.
So you would have been qualified due to the Sonora rally?
Under the old system. So in Sonora, I had a crash on the last day, but you know, I've done so many other races before then.
Yeah.
But so the big challenge now is that it's a points-based system.
Yeah.
And the points-based system will only count races that you've done for 2 years preceding the year of entry.
Yeah.
So races that you've done before the time doesn't count for points anymore.
Yeah.
So they've made the system so that they only count recent races, not old races, which didn't used to be the case. And they also, obviously, with the points, they've made it so that you pretty much have to do a World Rally Raid Championship round.
Yeah, with the other races, you're not getting much points together.
Exactly.
I've checked it out, so yeah.
Yeah. So it's a way to force people to do the Rally Raid World Championship or at least some of the rounds and get more people there. But, you know, for me, you know, I've gone from making up my mind I'm going to go to this is absolute nonsense. I'm not going to become, you know, it's not in the spirit of rally.
Mm.
I'm not going to become it's ridiculous. I'm going to now... This is the end for me. I'm not going to do Dakar because, you know, I don't have an extra €20,000 to qualify.
Yeah,
it's just like crazy. So then I was like, okay, now I'm done. I'm not doing it. And then I was like, man, you know what? If it was easy to get to Dakar, there'll be 500 people there every year. You know, that's 130 bikers every year across the world. And as with Everest or K2, that is it. You know, that is you are part of that 130 bikers for that year that does Dakar. So, you know, then I had the emotional whirlwind to going from deciding to go to deciding not to go to deciding, okay, I am going to go, but if I'm going to go, I promise myself I'm not going to complain about the ASO. I'm not going to complain about the point system. It's just part of the journey, and I just have to take it. You know, it's like going to the army or going to school or going to university. They're stupid rules, but you have to adhere to it because they're the rules.
Yeah. Oh, wow, man. That's kind of a roller coaster way of having the decision. And
it was crazy.
It was,
it was crazy.
Wow.
But now it's like, okay, you know, I've done it. Now I have to succeed. I have to push through.
Yeah.
I won't back down no matter what. You know, I will get there. I think for the listeners, what's very important is, you know, I'm pitching the idea as will Willem get to Dakar? Can I get to Dakar?
Yeah.
A lot of campaigns, you know, because a lot of people are saying to me, how can you start campaigning for Dakar in February, you know, or January? You don't even know if you're going to make it. And I think for me, it's a big thing about that's part of the journey is I have to make sure that I make it.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously barring a catastrophic crash, otherwise everything else, you know, I will do. I've literally taken off the year of work. I've, you know, had a discussion with my family and, you know, there's a lot of hard things like,
yeah.
You know, I'm missing my daughter's birthday. I'm missing important family dates and stuff because it's not just about the money. And I think that's one thing that we want to show with Decoding Dakar is that to do Dakar is a complete commitment, very similar to Everest. Like, you know, you don't wake up one day and say, I'm going to go and climb Everest. You have to prepare at least a year in advance and
I think
it becomes your life.
It's a very valid point what you mentioned that you have. So I mean, if you're a young person and you're don't have any own family stuff going on there, so then it's quite easier maybe to do it from that point of view. But if you have family, if you got a wife, if you got your daughter and all that stuff, then it's something really serious you have to talk about, because all this and everyone has to stand back behind Dakar. So Dakar will be
exactly
will
Dakar's
be for this
one.
Period will be number one. So
And that is a really, really hard decision, like discussion to have. You know, I'm very, very fortunate that I have a family that is fully behind me with it, you know, my wife, my daughter. But even that, you know, for a child, you know, it definitely affects my daughter. I can see it because, you know, it is a dangerous sport. And, you know, I've had like quite a few bad crashes. So, you know, it's like every time I go away, you know, she's worried and stressed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, is my dad going to be okay? So, you know, it has a big, big effect emotionally on a family. And like I said, I'm blessed that my family is completely behind me and that they understand that that's who I am. It's a part of who I am that's never going to disappear.
And on the other hand, it will be tough maybe at some point for yourself, if you're, so we are all getting through ups and lows during training, doing preparing, doing races and all that stuff. So there will be maybe also some points where you will miss your family and stuff like that. And questioning yourself, is it worse? And then you have to grit your teeth and get it through. And so, yeah, it's a tough story, a tough way to get even to the start of Dakar, I guess.
Exactly. Yes, because, I mean, we literally had that discussion, you know, we sat around a table and I was like, guys, I know I'm asking a lot, but, you know, realistically, if I go on this journey, what this means is for 1 year of my life, family is going to come second. That's what, and you have to be honest with yourself and with them in that regard and be like, okay, this is the reality. And in many ways, that makes it a very selfish sport. You know, it is a selfish sport. But if you have that worm and if it is part of who you are, you know, it's a different thing. And I think that's what's different for me is it's not something that came out of the blue. You know, it's not like I was working at a desk and then I was like, oh, this is, I want to go and do Dakar. It's been part of my life as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier to understand, but it doesn't make it easier on the family.
Yeah. So it didn't come as a surprise, like, oh, where is this coming from? So
exactly.
Wow. So maybe we should just talk a little bit about the basics before we are taking a step back to the Decoding Dakar stuff. How will you do the Dakar? So do you have any plans at the moment? So will you do it with a team? Are you thinking about Malemoto? Do you have maybe any plans which kind of bike you want to use? So these are all just fundamental questions, because it's having a huge effect on the budget you will need to do Dakar.
100%.
Yeah.
Yep. So in short, to answer your question, you know, I could have probably done Dakar 3-4 years ago, you know, and I decided at the time that I'm not doing it then because decoding Dakar's view, at least this year or this time around, the plan is to say, to do Dakar in a way that gives me the best possible chance of success, right? So I follow Dakar my whole life. I've researched it. I've spoken to probably hundreds of people that's finished it. And, you know, I've built myself a roadmap of what I want to achieve. And part of that roadmap and part of that research was, I want to give myself the best possible chance to succeed. And I want to know that if I fail, then it is down to me and not because of the fact that I didn't plan properly.
Yeah.
So because of that, you know, my journey has taken way longer to get there than most people, because I've tried to save and I try to train and put stuff in place so that when I go to Dakar, I have a good chance of finishing. I mean, it's important for the listeners to know that I'm not a professional racer. I classify myself as a semi-professional amateur. You know, it's not, I don't race for a living. It's not what I do. And I'm certainly not planning to race in Dakar. I just want to finish it.
Yeah, yeah.
So in that regard, I'm going with a team called HT Rally Raid.
Yeah.
It is a Dutch team based on my research over many years. You know, the program that they provide is one of the best out there, in my opinion. But it's also one of the more expensive ones. Mm. Therefore, I had to plan to be able to get that done and sorted. And bike-wise, HT is a Husky team. But, I mean, for me, I think you know by now, I ride any bike. I don't really care as long as the bike gets me to the finish line. I don't really care what bike it is.
I remember there was kind of a donkey discussion with Garrett about bikes a few weeks ago. With the donkey discussion with Garrett when he rode your rally bike.
My old bike, yeah. When we were training, I let him ride my old rally bike and he was like, yo. So, yeah, look, I'm a firm believer of getting out there and riding no matter what bike you have or what bike you're on. Riding it, you know, is more important than anything else.
So
I am going to be going with HT Rally Raid. I'm doing the Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge next week with Henk and HT as well, so that I get used to the team. And, you know,
and you will rent a bike from them, or are you planning to purchase a bike?
No, I'm renting a bike for both races. I think, you know, again, I went back and forth for that. The biggest question for me, or not question, the biggest reason that I decided about not buying a bike, other than the fact that it's extremely expensive, is the fact that what do you do with an RFR after Dakar? You know, and in my case, where I don't really stay in one place, you know, I'm in between the US and South Africa. Even in the US, you know, I'm in New Hampshire where it snows a lot. There's not a lot of riding. So, like, what do you do with RFR after Dakar? You know, it's too expensive to run the thing as a riding bike.
You can just sell it because I think they're pretty stable in their value, but you have to put the money on the table first. So it's...
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, it's not that easy to get rid of a RFR once you put it in the market. Yes, it will sell, but you know, you're going to take some hits. That's a fact.
Yeah, so for sure. It's not like selling a 300 CRF Honda, which you can sell around every corner. So it's just you have to find the person who is looking for a bike and who is having the money and all that stuff. So it's
exactly that. Yeah. But yeah, so to answer your question, I am planning to do Dakar if I get there, and I believe I'll get there with the help of the community. I shall be with HT Rally Raid, probably on Husqvarna, but I am in talks with a certain manufacturer about a possible other bike, which we might be able to do a different podcast about if that ever comes to fruition. So, you know, there's a lot going on, but for the moment, at least for Abu Dhabi, I'll be on a Husky RFR 450.
I think there's so to be honest, so from my point of view, it's super interesting how Kobe and how Fantic will develop the next month, their rally program, and their bikes. Mm-hmm. So because I don't know, I think that the Fantic is it's below 20k, the rally bike, the Kobe anyway, so not the factory version but the normal version. So I think it's really interesting to see how they develop, and that's so besides your Dakar plan. But yeah, I think it's good that these manufacturers are in there for the sport as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to, especially with Covey, you know, I do have quite a few ties with Covey in the US and Canada as well. And, you know, I've the bikes are very well built, and it's, forget about just rally, you know, the big market lies within the adventure guys that wants to ride a small adventure bike and wants the fuel capacity to get around and, you know, go and explore. So for me,
and maybe having a little bit of these Dakar feeling, you know, I think it's quite an emotional thing.
Exactly like a rally bike. It's super emotional, you know, and it's a good bike, you know. There's no question about it. I am a big fan of it. And the price is right in the sense of, you know, everybody's pressed for money, and in the States at least, you know, the bike is selling very, very well. Yeah. And, you know, people have now had it for a season or for a year. And, you know, all the reviews, let me put it this way, I've not seen a negative review about the cover yet.
No, me also not.
I am very, very excited about the future for Covey, just because of the fact that it is growing the sport. They are supporting riders, and we're not seeing big brands do that anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, the big brands are all taking serious hits.
Yeah, for sure. And I think really what I love about the Covey, I mean, there's the CEO in Dakar and working on the bikes himself, and mm-hmm. so that's really cool. That's what I love to see. That's the Dakar spirit, the old Dakar spirit. And,
exactly.
And I've never seen. So I mean, I'm quite for a few years now, a little bit into this rally business, not as deep as you, but the best way I can, and also in the adventure business and doing the podcast and all the stuff. So quite a little bit involved in, or at least from side watching reviews and all that stuff. And I've never experienced a thing like the Kobe has done, because there's just in Germany you can't buy the Kobe at the moment, so we don't have a company which are importing the bikes. I think there is a company in Italy and some other Europe countries around Germany, but not in Germany itself, and they are organizing now a group from which is started like the way you can put your private cell adverts. And there was a guy, listen, I just had got a contact to, I think it's Slovenia, and he started a WhatsApp group so that they can make a collective order for the COVID bikes to bring them to Germany. And I think they want to place the order and hope that they will get them in March or April. So I've never experienced that there are people starting to organize themselves to bring a bike to Germany, because you can't buy it in Germany. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced something like that. And it's really cool. And for us, it's super interesting that you can run the Kobe street legal with nearly full horsepower. And there isn't any other bike in this class. So we in Germany, we can't ride a 450 or 500 EXC or whatever street legal with full horsepower. We have to cut the engine power down to like 20 horsepower or something like that to make it street legal, which is nonsense. So but the Kobe would be a game changer for that, because we can ride
it. Is a game changer, man. And I think the big thing is that it has the word I think that comes to mind from what you're describing, and that's what I'm seeing here in the US, is it has a cult following. You know, and that cult following is what I'm seeing, which I love, is that there is a new way of motorcycle development, especially for add-ons and extras, is this kind of almost like a crowd sourcing, where somebody buys a bike and then if they design a new part for it or a new tower or a new accessory, they make it available for everybody. They don't go and sell it. They're like, oh, dude, like, check here. Here's my design for this, or here's my 3D design for that. You can print it at home.
Yeah.
And it's this cult following of guys just really want to ride and try and save money, and everybody's helping each other to make the bike better.
Yeah.
And that's something we haven't seen in many years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, that's very, very good words which describe everything about the Kobe bike. Really cool. Yeah, but getting back to your Dakar plans and your Dakar preparation. So maybe you can give a few words more about the Decoding Dakar project.
Yeah, so in short, you know, what I want is, when I'm done with Dakar, I want there to be a website, let's call it Decoding Dakar, that you're going to go to. And let's say, Chris, that worm is now finally eaten all the way into your skull, and you're like, okay, I'm going to go. I want you to be able to look at it and say, okay, step one is I need to qualify. And step two, or actually step one, is I have to get a FIM license,
yeah,
which is also on the website. There's, I know it's still coming out. Sorry. The next article would be about how to get a FIM license, the steps. But
yeah,
what I'm basically doing is I'm recording everything I'm doing this year. And while at the moment it's in blog form, eventually it will be in a website form.
Yeah.
And it will be a scenario of, okay, if I want to get to Dakar, number one, this is what it's going to cost realistically. You know, I'm keeping tabs of what I'm spending, and I'm keeping that spending will be public or open once I'm finished with everything to say, okay, this is how much I spend on training. This is how much I spend on flights. Not just for Dakar, but for the entire year of preparing, because yeah, that's really what you need.
Yeah,
And that's a big mistake that a lot of people do, is they look at Dakar and they look at what it costs, and then they say, oh, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
But
yeah,
they forget about all of the other stuff that you have to.
Yeah, there are so many hidden points you don't have on your list if you're just getting into it. So you're thinking about, okay, starting fee and maybe just for looking for team service and rent a bike and then you're good to go. No, there's a big part missing.
And every day there's something else, like air vest. I mean, that's $1,000 right there, you know. So there's always something. So my plan is to at least give you a full-on like idea of what a year of training for Dakar costs, plus the real costs of Dakar.
Yeah, that's
so,
so cool.
Number one, there'll be a online resource with the costing. And then number two, there would be a step-by-step thing that if you follow it, that will give you the best possible chance of finishing Dakar, hopefully, theoretically.
Yeah.
That's the theory. We're going to test it and practice this year and see if I finish.
Yeah, man, I think that will be a dangerous homepage for myself as well.
Well,
yeah.
I think the big thing is it puts it in perspective.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it takes it from a dream to something that, okay, wow, that is a lot of money, or wow, that's a lot of time, or wow, that's a lot of commitment. But now that I see it, now that there's something on paper and there's a blueprint for me,
yeah,
I can do it. I can actually make a plan to get there because Willem was able to do it.
Yeah, and you still have to have, so the people have your plan to follow. Maybe they have to modify it a little bit to their own needs and stuff like that, for sure. But they have, as you said, a blueprint you can follow, and that that helps so much if you're getting new into a topic or setting. Even if you have done some smaller rallies and doing enduro riding and all that stuff, so you're maybe already pretty much a good rider. But how to organize all the stuff around the riding theme is so important for Dakar. So that's really, really a cool thing, and it's the first thing coming up like this. So I don't, I either don't know about anything like that.
No, I looked high and low. You know, I couldn't find something, which is why I decided that this would be my kind of angle. You know, my soapbox that I stand on, and I think it's important. Like I said earlier, you know, my way is definitely not the cheapest way. It is designed to give me the best possible chance of success. And maybe who knows, if I'm successful this year and next year and I am and I get the opportunity to go back to Dakar again, you know, I could do one about what is the cheapest possible way to go to Dakar, you know. So, but first I have to finish it. So I first need to finish it, and then we can always talk about other ways of doing Dakar, which would be fun. So
for sure.
That's the theory behind decoding Dakar. You know, financially, finances is the biggest challenge, you know. So if anybody that is listening to the show loves rally and want to help in making the sport more accessible to everybody, you know, it's, this is not about just me going to do it and fulfilling a personal dream. This is me trying to build a resource for the entire rally community. Then please, like, check out the website, share the word with your friends. If you're able to contribute, you know, please do, and if you're not able to contribute, please share the word as wide as you can.
I mean, that's a serious thing. So if there's someone out there who's interested in becoming a sponsor of you, you're totally open for it. You can get in contact directly with Willem, or you can contact me for sure, and we will make everything happen, put you into contact, guys. So that would be really awesome. And I think maybe Willem, there will be a kind of a crowdfunding or something like that where anyone can participate of in the future.
Yes, and it is actually, that's already happening. So there's kind of, we have three, I have three tiers of sponsorship, if you want to call it that way. If obviously right now I'm pushing for a corporate sponsor, you know, I'm happy to, if there's a corporate sponsor out there that wants to brand Decoding Dakar. I think a very important thing to keep in mind is whoever gets involved with Decoding Dakar, you're going to be involved with the growth of a, very similar to the Covey thing, the growth of a movement, and you'll forever be the one that was involved in the beginning. You know, you kind of got in on the ground floor as an organization or as a brand. So that would be the highest level, is a corporate sponsorship. But then the second level, that's pretty much where a lot of people fall in, especially friends and businesses, is if you say, listen, Willem, I want to put my logo on your bike and on your jacket, on your Mira jacket, because I want to support you and I want to be seen as a brand that supports rally. You know, that's, let's call it a lesser form of corporate sponsorship, because that would be a set amount for a logo on our website and our gear. And then the third tier, I don't want to call it the lowest tier, but the base tier is that, you know, the GoFundMe, where somebody can contribute. Anybody that does contribute any amount gets added to, I have a very special inside Dakar or inside Decoding Dakar WhatsApp group, where I share a lot of stuff that you won't find on social media or that I won't be putting on social media. It's not necessarily stuff that will affect the Decoding Dakar story. You know, for me, the stuff I'll put on social media is everything, the stuff that will help you get there. So that part is going to happen no matter what. But if you want to see behind the scenes, you know, stuff like inside the bivouac or the bike or the team or the camper, stuff that doesn't necessarily have to do with how to get to Dakar and more like what it's like behind the scenes, then any type of contribution on the GoFundMe page gets you, like, you become part of that WhatsApp group. And then also we will do, I'm probably going to be selling t-shirts and most probably those the orange glasses of mine. I'm busy getting some of that branded. So we'll have some stuff.
Oh, really? I need to get one of these. I definitely need to get one of these. Or at least two, because my wife loves orange too. So if I'm just getting orange glasses only for myself, I will get into trouble.
See? So the plan is that, you know, even though we don't have that stuff now, once it's ready, let's say, for instance, you've already donated to the GoFundMe a certain amount. If you've donated before the time that we do stuff or giveaways, you'll automatically be part of it. So, you know, if we do something like a raffle or a competition later in the year, anybody that has contributed to the GoFundMe will also be part of it. It's not that they have to contribute again to be part of it.
So that's really cool. So and there's another thing coming in. So we discussed that we want to cover your Decoding Dakar and your whole story here in the Rally Talk podcast. So we will have a talk at least one times a month about
that's awesome.
About things, how they will develop. You can share what has happened. We can talk about Decoding Dakar. So this is like more kind of a Kickstarter date, just to talk about the project itself. And in the next episode, you will get more. We will see what comes up to our mind, what's on the table then. And I will promise. So that has nothing to do with the podcast itself. So. The Dirty Rocks company. So we are not in the position to give big support. So even if I would love to do, for sure I will put something in the pot from doing the crowdfunding stuff. And if you need any support, I mean, so we are close to the Netherlands or something. Is there anything we can do to bring you one step closer to Dakar? Please let me know. I know
definitely,
that I will be there, driving around, organizing whatever, and for sure our community will be there too, to help you out anyway. So when we can do something, just let us know.
Thank you, man. I truly appreciate it. Yeah, and I think it's important for me as well that, you know, if there's anybody listening to the show, if there's any specific stuff you guys want to know, if there's any specific content that you want to hear about, reach out to Chris or to me or to the podcast and tell them that, listen, you know, we want to learn more about, let's say, for instance, making roadbooks, or we want to learn more about navigation, or we want to learn more about the application process or whatever, because, you know, I've literally committed the year to the rally and to the community in the sense of I'm there to serve the community. So the more feedback we get from the listeners, the better we can make the show for them.
Yeah.
Definitely in February, I'll give you guys a rundown of Abu Dhabi. That is in 2 weeks. So if anybody is listening to this before the Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, please make sure to go and follow my feed there and check it out. I'm super excited. A little bit nervous as well, but also really excited because this is Abu Dhabi is like, you know, the official kind of kickoff for Decoding Dakar. Yeah. It's just like, you know, yesterday I saw my name on that entry list and I'm like, wow, this is real.
That's the real deal, man.
There's
no going
back now.
Yeah, so cool. So yeah, Abu Dhabi will be anyway. So we will talk a lot about Abu Dhabi Rally because we will have Abu Dhabi Rally on Dakar FM for sure. I think Tobias Epster will be back in the show again talking about Abu Dhabi and talking about what has happened to him after his really incredible first task on Dakar with the win in the Malemoto class and stuff like that. And we will have Willem back here in talking about his Abu Dhabi in the according to the Decoding Dakar stuff. So there will be lots of Abu Dhabi stuff on the podcast for sure.
Right. Well, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. It is nice to be on the sound waves in Germany. Vielen Dank.
Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Yeah. And I think to be honest, it's a kind of a new experience for us itself because basically this podcast is mainly for German audience, so it's mostly German talking. And then I stepped up there and started all this crazy rally thing. And so now it's more and more becoming English, and I'm super excited to get maybe at least for the episodes with you where we're talking English more international listeners. And I would really love to get some follows around the world, get some comments. Really excited how all this will develop and where we'll be then in a year or something. So what will turn out there.
Definitely,
and what will happen. That's a cool experience.
Yeah, I will be sharing it from my platform. So I'm hoping that you will have listeners in the US, Canada, and South Africa at a bare minimum. So
yeah,
that'll be fun.
Perfect. So at this point, welcome to all new listeners from everywhere from the world. All right. So, Willem, yeah, thank you so much for taking your time. I think that's quite a good start. And the next episode will follow up, and we will keep you guys out there updated about William's way to Dakar and decoding Dakar. And yeah, you become a part of it. Stay tuned, and you will get all the information. And yeah, Willem, thanks once again for you having you here.
Thank you, Chris. Yeah. Thank you for talking to me, man. I really appreciate it. And I'm excited to chat with you guys soon. So have a great day. Enjoy your weekend.
Perfect, man. Bye.
Bye.
Ja, Leute. Hier dann auch, wie versprochen, die kurze Zusammenfassung in Deutsch. Ich habe mit Willem Evenant gesprochen. Willem war auch die Person, die das ganze Roadbook Camp in Südafrika organisiert hat, bei dem ich ja letztes Jahr am Start war. Darüber gab es auch eine eigene Folge mit Howie zusammen im Bergcast, könnt ihr gerne nochmal auschecken. Also Willem ist schon ultra lang in der ganzen Rallye-Szene unterwegs und wie ich glaube, fast jeder, der in diesem Sport irgendwie zu Hause ist oder sich dafür interessiert, ist die Dakar das große Ding. In einem anderen Gespräch mit Willem haben wir das mal verglichen, dass die Dakar ist so wie der Mount Everest für Bergsteiger. Na, das ist halt einfach das ultimative Ding und es ist auch relativ interessant. Du kannst zig Achttausender klettern auf der Welt. Na gut, nicht zig, so viele gibt es auch nicht. Aber das interessiert halt keinen, die kennt auch kaum jemand, aber Mount Everest kennt jeder und Rallye Dakar ist genauso, kennt auch jeder. Man könnte auch böse sagen, es ist so die einzige Rallye, die wirklich zählt. Auch was Reputation angeht, wenn man dann irgendwie eine Art Business Case, wie auch immer, aus diesem Rallye-Thema machen möchte, was bei Willem der Fall ist. Und ja, wir haben ganz locker gesprochen so ein bisschen, denn Willem möchte 2025 die Dakar mitfahren und hat jetzt vor kurzem auch die Abu Dhabi Desert Race Rallye gefinisht. Das braucht man nämlich, um die Qualifikation jetzt zu schaffen. Also man braucht eine gewisse Anzahl an Punkten. Auch das haben wir erklärt, aber nochmal zurück. Wir haben erstmal gesprochen, wie kam es denn überhaupt dazu und wie war dieser Weg, die Entscheidung zu treffen. Denn das ist natürlich auch sehr, sehr schwierig. Man spricht über ja so 80.000 bis 100.000 Dollar circa, was man da in dem Fall aufbringen muss. Also es ist ein wahnsinnig viel Geld und es bedeutet halt auch, dass man so ein Jahr bis anderthalb Familie, Freunde, Beziehung etc., das steht alles, eine ganze Ecke hinter der Dakar an und zurück und das muss man natürlich auch wollen und dann ist natürlich auch die Frage, die hat sich auch Willem bestellt, ist es das wert? Vor allem ist es das Geld wert und er hätte sich gerne jemanden gewünscht in dem Moment, der gesagt hat, ja, mach das, das ist es wert, aber das sagt dir halt keiner und das ist eine Entscheidung, die widerspiegelt aber auch für mich den Rallye-Sport ganz gut, denn du musst die Entscheidung für dich treffen. Letzten Endes ist es nur deine Entscheidung, es ist dein Rennen, deine Rallye, alles, was zählt. Du machst das für dich alleine, auch wenn es ein Stück weit ein Teamsport bist, aber ganz viele Entscheidungen hängen einfach von dir ab. Und ja, die erste ist zu sagen, ich gehe an die Startlinie. Und Willem hat sich entschieden, daraus ein Projekt zu machen, das heißt Decoding Dakar. Und es geht so ein bisschen zum einen, schafft er es an die Startlinie von der Dakar, schafft er es dann, die zu finishen und er möchte uns alle auf diesem Weg mitnehmen. Das heißt, dieses Format hier mit Willem wird jetzt so einmal im Monat erscheinen bis zum Start der Dakar 2025 und natürlich dann auch während der Dakar werden wir Willem begleiten, denn ich glaube fest daran, dass er auf jeden Fall das zumindest bis an die Startlinie schafft. Ging es dann auch darum, wie jetzt die Vorbereitung ist. Er muss sich jetzt qualifizieren. Eigentlich hat er genug Erfahrung und ist genügend Rallyes gefahren, dass er starten hätte dürfen nach den alten Regeln. Nach den neuen Regeln gibt es jetzt ein Punktesystem, die besagt, dass man innerhalb der letzten zwei Jahre eine gewisse Anzahl an Punkten gesammelt hat, haben muss, dass man da starten darf bei der Dakar. Die Punkte sammelt man, indem man bestimmte Rallyes fährt und die müssen eben entsprechend dem Filmklassement, da müssen Teil von dieser Road to Dakar sein. Da gibt es vom Veranstalter eine Liste, wo genau draufsteht, die und die und die Rennen, die erfüllen gewisse Standards und man bekommt dann entsprechend Punkte dazu. Man braucht mindestens 12 Punkte, um startberechtigt zu sein. Und jetzt muss man halt ein bisschen schauen. Es gibt Rallyes wie die Rallye du Maroc oder die Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge. Da bekommt man direkt 12 Punkte, wenn man die finisht, weil eben gesagt ist, okay, das ist vom Anspruch her entsprechend hoch. Dann hat man das mit einem Rennen erledigt. Es gibt auch kleinere Rallyes, da kriegt man dann teilweise einen Punkt oder 6 Punkte oder so. Oder auch für Enduro-Läufe oder so kriegt man dann einen Punkt. Da kann man sich das auch zusammensuchen, aber das ist halt natürlich relativ mühsam. Und wenn ich jetzt halt 2, 3 Rallyes fahren muss, um auf die Punkte zu kommen, dann ist das Ganze natürlich sehr, sehr zeitintensiv und auch teuer. Deshalb hat Willem entschieden, dass er die Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge mitfährt. Ja, und dann haben wir so ein bisschen gesprochen eben von dieser, über diese ganze Entscheidung, bis man dann einfach mal sagt, okay, ich mache das jetzt und ich verfolge dieses Ziel oder ich verfolge es nicht. Willem hat sich entschieden, genau das zu tun. Und dann stehen natürlich die nächsten Fragen ins Haus, wie fahre ich denn das? Und er hat sich dafür entschieden, mit HT Rally Raid, also mit einem Team zu fahren. Denn er sagt eben ganz klar, das wird für mich höchstwahrscheinlich eine einmalige Sache. Und dann möchte ich diese Sache so angehen, dass ich die bestmöglichste Chance habe, das Ziel zu sehen und die Rallye zu finishen. Wir wissen alle, dass bei der Dakar überhaupt keine Garantie, aber natürlich ist die Chance als Fahrer mit einem Team, mit einem entsprechenden Backup, mit Mechanikern, mit Physio und so weiter und so fort, das deutlich höher zu finishen, zu schaffen, als wenn du da direkt in der Kistenfahrerwertung in der Original bei Motul ehemals mal in Motoklasse fährst. Ja, Willem wird da auch ein Motorrad mieten, also er nimmt sich nicht sein eigenes Motorrad und er kauft auch kein Motorrad, denn das ist natürlich einfach nochmal, ja, so ganz grob 30.000 Euro, die man da, wenn man sie gebraucht kauft, ein bisschen weniger, wenn man sie neu kauft, ein bisschen mehr, im Schnitt irgendwo 30.000 Euro, über die wir sprechen, die man da nochmal auf den Tisch legen muss. Und klar, was macht man dann danach? Behält man das Bike? Eigentlich ist das für die meisten anderen Rallyes gar nicht so gut geeignet für die Amateur-Rallyes, vor allem die nicht in der Wüste sind. Und ja, man könnte das auch verkaufen, denn die Bikes sind sehr, sehr wertstabil. Also auch Bikes, die schon 2, 3 Dakars gesehen haben, werden immer noch für 20.000, 23.000, 24.000 gehandelt, so ganz grob. Aber du musst halt auch einen Käufer finden dafür und du musst ja trotzdem erstmal das Geld haben. Deshalb hat er sich auch entschieden, bei HT eine Husqvarna Factory Rally Replika entsprechend dann zu mieten. Mit der ist er jetzt auch das erste Mal die Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge gefahren. Bin ich gespannt, was er in der nächsten Folge dann über die Erfahrung und über das Bike erzählt. Ja, zwischendrin sind wir dann noch dazu gekommen, dass, wenn man das so rational betrachtet, die Dakar zu fahren eigentlich völlig bescheuert ist. Deshalb, es ist eine völlig emotionale Geschichte, aber ich denke, wir haben schon genug über den Rallye-Sport gesprochen, warum es eben dann doch was extrem Besonderes ist und gerade auch, wenn man wie Willem sagt, na, ich möchte eben hier so ein Business Case draus machen, dann ist das schon sehr, sehr wichtig, wenn man sagen kann, hey, ich bin Dakar-Finisher und habe jetzt eine Rallye-Schule oder so irgendwas, das macht natürlich schon dann was aus. Ja, dann sind wir noch ein bisschen abgeschweift, haben über das Thema Kowe gesprochen. Also darüber haben wir auch schon mal in einem anderen Podcast gesprochen. Die Kowe 450 Rallye, sehr günstiges Motorrad. Die taucht jetzt auch immer mehr auf, in der Standardvariante sogar, bei Rallyes und schlägt sich da relativ gut. Und das ist schon, muss man sagen, so ein bisschen ein Gamechanger, weil man halt hier für, je nachdem, wo man sie kauft oder so, ein bisschen dazu noch an Anpassungen oder so, für so 10.000, 11.000 Euro ein fertiges Rallye-Bike wohl bekommen kann, was funktioniert. Also ich bin sehr, sehr gespannt und wir gucken mal, was wir da jetzt für Infos noch ranbekommen. Und das ist natürlich ja, ein Gamechanger, weil das senkt die Eintrittshürde für den Sport und da sind wir sehr, sehr gespannt, was denn da noch kommt. In den nächsten Folgen werden wir über ganz vieles sprechen, unter anderem auch die tatsächliche Finanzierung. Da gibt es aber schon mal eine kleine Info jetzt, und zwar Willem finanziert sich das durch Erspartes. Er sucht natürlich auch nach Sponsoren und ein Crowdfunding. Den Link für das Crowdfunding, den packen wir euch in die Shownotes. Das heißt, wer Willem unterstützen möchte, egal ob mit 1 Euro, ob mit 5 Euro, ob was auch immer, feel free. Freut er sich sehr darüber. Es gibt die Möglichkeit, aber auch richtig einzusteigen als Sponsor mit Logo auf dem Bike bei Willem und so weiter und so fort. Und da kommt auch das Thema Decoding Dakar, weil das haben wir auch noch angesprochen. Er möchte seinen Weg zur Dakar komplett dokumentieren und möchte das als eine Art Blaupause anderen Menschen, die sagen, ich habe den Traum, Dakar zu fahren, aber ich habe keine Ahnung davon. Vielleicht bin ich noch nie auf dem Motorrad gesessen. Wie geht das? Was muss ich machen? Und da möchte er diesen Menschen dann helfen, indem sie dieser Blaupause einfach folgen und sagen, okay, das ist mein Weg dann auch zur Dakar. Und wer jetzt sagt, er möchte da mit Teil von diesem Projekt sein, mit dann auch Nennung auf der Homepage, auf dem Bike und so, da komplett involviert sein, direkt vom Start an, der kann entweder gerne mich oder Willem direkt kontaktieren. Ich werde seine Links und so zu seinen Homepages etc. entsprechend auch in die Shownotes packen. Das heißt, wenn irgendwie jetzt von euch jemand dabei ist, der sagt, Mensch, ich habe eine Firma, ich wollte schon immer mal, dass mein Firmenname über die Ziellinie der Dakar oder naja, zumindest über die Startlinie der Dakar rollt, dann ist das hier jetzt eure Chance und Willem würde sich sehr, sehr freuen über die Unterstützung. Ich werde mich auch drüber freuen. Ich werde auch definitiv persönlich was in das Crowdfunding reinpacken, in den Topf. Und ja, ansonsten werden wir ihn hier natürlich begleiten, unterstützen auf dem Podcast. Das war's soweit. Ich würde sagen, ihr bleibt dran. Bis zur nächsten Folge. Dankeschön fürs Zuhören. Bis dahin, macht es gut. Ciao, ciao, euer Chris vom Rally Talk.